want us to do here just for these next few moments is just kind of reiterate that theme about joy that was kind of the thread running through that cantata and culminating in the final singing of Joy to the World. I don't know if you've thought about it, but so many of our traditional Christmas carols, Christmas songs, talk about joy. Of course, the most familiar one is the one that the choir just sang or was kind of integrated into that arrangement there, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. But then we have, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And in Angels We Have Heard on High, it says, Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? We sing, Good Christian man, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. In Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we sing, Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And in O Come, Emmanuel, we sing at the conclusion, Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And I'm sure there are others that I have forgotten, but it really is a common theme of our Christmas songs, that message of joy that we find recorded for us in Luke's narrative account. And let me ask you to turn there, if you would, in your Bibles. It's a familiar passage. We'll have some of the verses we're looking at here on the screen behind me. But Luke chapter 2, and if you need a Bible this morning, there should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find Luke 2 on page 1429. You know, one of the things that I think we struggle with, all of us, is really having joy in our lives. I mean, we have our high points when our circumstances change and things are positive and exciting and pleasing to us. But, you know, the Bible tells us that there's a difference between the happiness that derives from circumstances and life's events and the reality of joy that really grips our souls. And we talk about the birth of Jesus. We are talking about that kind of joy that transcends difficult circumstances even, that isn't dependent upon how things are going today or tomorrow, but really is rooted in the reality that Jesus has come. And you say, where does Christmas joy come from? Well, the Bible gives us an answer in the birth narrative here in Luke chapter 2. Take a look at verse 8. Says, and there were in the same country, in the same region, just nearby, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, listen to this, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. And here's the good news that ought to be a source of great joy to all people, to those shepherds, to us, to everyone who's ever lived on this earth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the title of this short message this morning is The Joy of Christmas. And what I want us to do is just spend the next few minutes looking at that last verse that I read, verse number 11. And this is a verse that is the good news, the good tidings of great joy, a verse that gives us a basis for genuine Christmas joy. And what we're going to do is just kind of take this verse apart into four little phrases. I'm not going to do them in the order they appear in the verse, just so it kind of flows for us better. But we're just going to look at these four phrases briefly and see what it teaches us about having Christmas joy. And the first thing I want to think about is that little expression, in the city of David. Okay, why does that included there in the words of the angel? I think it's to remind us of the prophecy of the coming of Jesus. We're just talking about the reality, and in a nutshell, the source of joy is that Jesus has come. That's the heart of the message. And there is this prophecy of His coming. The city of David refers to the little town of Bethlehem that we sing about. And it was maybe 6-7 miles south and east of Jerusalem. It was kind of a shepherding country. It was a small village. And we all are familiar with the story. how there had been a decree that everyone had to go register in their home city. And so Joseph took his very pregnant wife, Mary, or betrothed wife, Mary, and we understand that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It was a miraculous conception and an amazing birth of this little baby Jesus, but they had to go to Bethlehem. And they did that because long before that, about 700 years before that, this prophecy is recorded for us in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, it's in the country of Judah there, just a small little village, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know, the Christmas message, I mean, to begin with, we understand that December 25th is probably not the day Jesus was born. We don't really know. That's when we observe it. That's when we celebrate it. But really, Christmas goes all the way back to the very beginning. This was in the mind of God long before we even get into the period of time in which Jesus lived. I was reading a devotional here recently. It was a 25-day Advent devotional entitled Faces Around the Manger. Okay, so we would think, okay, faces around the manger. You know, we've got the wise men and we've got the shepherds and we've got Mary and Joseph and these different things. But this gentleman actually wrote a series of 25 messages. And he really goes from, you know, he says Christmas didn't start in Bethlehem. That's when it became real. But Christmas started long before Jesus was born. And he traces it from Eden to Bethlehem. So the first study is, you know, one of the faces around the manger was Eve, the one whom way back in Genesis 3:15, God promised her that she was going to give birth to someone who was going to crush the devil's head, as it were. And it was going to be the triumphant victor, that first prediction of a coming Messiah. And you just walk through from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. Everything seeks to focus upon the coming of Jesus. His coming at His first advent, His sacrificial death, His resurrection, His coming again to establish His rule and reign in a very vivid, visible way upon this earth. But the Bible is all about the coming of Jesus. It's been predicted from of old. The Bible is full of predictions. Jesus' birth was the fulfillment of dozens of specific prophecies. We won't take the time this morning to walk through them, but it's a great study to look at those things written in the Old Testament hundreds of years before that are precise, that are specific, like the birthplace is going to be this little town, Bethlehem, the city of David, and they're fulfilled perfectly and completely in the birth and the life of the Lord Jesus. So one of the reasons that we can have great joy at Christmas and all the time is because when Jesus was born, it was in fulfillment of God's plan, God's prophecy from all time. Next phrase I want us to look at is this statement, is born this day. And this speaks of the reality of Jesus coming. It's a simple declarative statement. Some of you maybe have heard of a group of people known as the Jesus Seminar. Kind of a strange name to describe a group of people. But this was a group of liberal theologians. And they were formed back in 1985. And they continued meeting periodically through the 90s into the early 2000s. And the number of them as they would gather might be 25, it might be 50, it might be more. And they would discuss certain things about what the Bible has to say about Jesus' life, about His birth, about the things that He taught. And then they would take a vote to see, do we think these things are really true? And they would use little colored pebbles, and one color meant yes, and a different color meant no, and they would cast their votes, and they would count up the pebbles. And these liberal theologians took a vote on whether the virgin birth was true. One of them said yes. 24 said no. Folks, the Bible couldn't be plainer. The Lord Jesus was born. And as this verse teaches us, He's the Savior. He's the prophesied Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Lord. And it could not be more true. And the Bible makes plain statements that either you have to say, this is just a book of myth and fable, and sadly that's what some people would say. Or you say, this is a book that is inspired by God, that is breathed out by God, that is God's truth, God's message to us, in which case we just take it at face value. And when it says that Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost, that she had not known a man, then that's what the case was. That is the truth. That is the reality. And Jesus was born to her. God in human flesh. So this verse tells us about the reality of His coming, and that's something that ought to stir our souls with joy. Third expression I want us to look at, and we'll spend a little bit of extra time on this one, is the reason for His coming. He came to be a Savior. Christ the Lord. Really three expressions there. Savior, Christ, and Lord. And the word Savior was introduced back in the Old Testament. The idea of someone who comes to deliver His people. And that was something that was prophesied again and again. That a Savior is coming. A Deliverer is coming. Now people understood that in different ways. But we understand it very clearly because of the words that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. And the angel of the Lord, perhaps Gabriel, perhaps different, but spoke to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, when that angel told Joseph that Mary would give birth to a son. And he said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." That's the New Testament version, the Greek equivalent of Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. You're going to call His name. He is the Savior. He is God saving, for He shall save His people from their sins. You know what? Jesus came to deliver in many, many different ways. And the Jews were especially looking for deliverance from Roman oppression. But the reality was, the primary reason, the main reason Jesus came, the whole of it, was He came to save His people. To deliver us from the peril of sin, from the penalty of sin, from all of those things. That's why He came to be a Savior, Christ the Lord. Folks, we, all of us, need saving from our sins. Because the Bible tells us that we are all sinners, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And we can't save ourselves, we can't deliver ourselves, we can't reform ourselves, we can't clean ourselves up. What we need is forgiveness from God and the gift of eternal life that comes because of what Jesus did when He, as our Savior, went to the cross and shed His blood that we might be saved. Folks, that is a great need in the heart of any person. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, that is the greatest need that you have today. It's an eternal need. Because of our sin, deserve God's just punishment, condemnation, and hell. And I realize that's not a very uplifting message, but the uplifting message, the good news against that backdrop, is that this Jesus that was born there in Bethlehem is a Savior. He's also Christ the Lord. Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word for Messiah, which means the anointed one. He's that one that was prophesied from of old, lest there be any doubt. Unto you is born this day a Savior to save you from the sins. The anointed one, the promised one, the one whom God has intended from all time past and predicted and promised. This is Him, Christ the Lord. And the Lord refers to His deity. It's a synonym, I suppose, we could say for God. The next two verses in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 say this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And this is speaking of the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin birth. Verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel." And I think most of us understand that what Emmanuel means, and that verse goes on to explain it for us, it means God with us. When Jesus was born, that was God coming to earth in the incarnation, taking on Him human flesh to be with us, to live under the constraints of a human frame and certain of those limitations. And he came and he lived, the Son of God, sinlessly. Walked this earth through those 33 or so years, we don't know exactly how long, but never sinning, not once. And yet, going to the cross for us. The infinite God, the only one who could pay the infinite debt of our sin so that we could be saved. Why did Jesus come? What's the reason for His coming? He came to be a Savior. Christ the Lord. One more expression and then we're done. It's just these two words, unto you. The angel said to the saints, to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so in context, the you here is the shepherds. But it really isn't just the shepherds, not just to them. It is to all people. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Those lowly shepherds, ordinary, everyday people. Most of us here would describe ourselves as ordinary, everyday people. We've got all our differences and our uniquenesses, but ordinary, everyday people. And God sent those angels to announce to the shepherds. He could have announced it to kings. We understand that He in some way communicated to the Magi, to the wise men from the East. We understand that. But this is a message for all people, and that includes us, ordinary, everyday people like you and me, unto us, unto the shepherds, and unto us, to all the world, is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And the question is this, what is your response to His coming? You know, the reason that this message is good news of great joy is because it is the answer to our sin problem. It is the basis for our forgiveness, for our deliverance, for new life in Christ, for the promise of an eternal home in heaven instead of eternal punishment in hell. It's because Jesus came. And the question is, have you responded to Him? Have you realized that this is a message unto you? It's a message that shall be to all people. And it'll be a source of joy if you will, trust Jesus as your Savior from sin. And one of the problems sometimes with religious thinking, okay, and religion's not a bad word, but sometimes people take a religious bent, but the idea is, I need to clean up my life. I need to do better. I need to try harder. I need to prove myself worthy of God's blessing, of God's love, of God's care, of God's salvation. And folks, you can't do that. The Bible says that salvation is not by the works of righteousness that we have done. It says that we are saved by grace. God's grace, God's unmerited favor through faith, not of works. Lest any of us would say, well, I earned this, I deserve this, I'm saved because of what I have done. Folks, you can't do it. None of us can. We all fall short. But Jesus paid the penalty for us all. And He extends the opportunity for us to admit, I am a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. And I want to depend on what He did on the cross. And you know, that simple understanding and genuine belief where we rest in that and we stop thinking that if I get baptized, if I get confirmed, if I go to church X number of times, if I'm a good this or a good that, and when we stop thinking like that, and I'm not saying, hey, you ought to be baptized, you ought to be go to church, you know, you ought to be a good person. I'm not disputing that. But we never measure up. And salvation is the gift that comes because of what Jesus, the Savior, Christ the Lord, what He did for us. And this message is unto you, unto me. It's for all of us. And if you will trust in Christ as your Savior, believing Him to be the sinless Son of God who was born, yes, as a little baby, perfectly God, perfectly man, lived a sinless life, went to the cross for us. If we will believe that and trust in that, then there is salvation for us, and that is the greatest source of joy anyone has ever had. And that's a source of joy on your good days and on your bad days. That is the joy of Christmas. That's the joy of Easter. That's the joy of eternity. I mean, that is what real joy is rooted in, the fact that I can have a relationship with Jesus, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there's that good news that is there for me. Outside of the Christmas season, here on Sunday mornings, we've been studying about the life of Abraham from the book of Genesis. And back at the very beginning of that study, back in Genesis 12, right at the very beginning there, God makes certain promises to Abraham. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. And among those promises was that through Abraham's descendants, and in particular, we know that there's one particular descendant, this one, the Lord Jesus, all families of the earth will be blessed. It does not matter what your background is. Doesn't matter if you're a shepherd or a wise man. Doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what your religious background is. All that matters is that Jesus came to be your Savior if you will trust in Him. And there's salvation in no other. His name alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, dear person, if you are here this morning and you've been trying hard, be a good person, to do better. You've been looking to religious answers to the needs in your life. I commend you for that desire. But I'm here to tell you, here is the answer. This little baby born in a manger. The Savior, Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. He's the answer to all of your questions, to all of your needs. Will you trust in Him? And there are many here I know who have trusted Christ, and you are believers. You're saved. Maybe you still struggle with a kind of a lack of joy in your life. There's too much duty. There's too much just kind of distraction and going through the motions. You know, turn your eyes to Jesus again and again and again. And there is such great joy when we look to Him. When we depend on Him not only for salvation, but then for daily living, day by day by day after that, that's where the joy comes. The joy of Christmas. The joy of everything about the Christian life is found in Jesus. The one prophesied of old. The one literally, really, completely born of a virgin. A supernatural conception. A miraculous child, the Christ child, God and man, who came as our Savior, as our Deliverer, who ever lives even now, waiting to come again. I trust that you'll find true Christmas joy by depending upon Him. Let me ask for heads.